Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church this World Communion Sunday. We are so glad that you are here. Your bulletin is full of announcements and calendars, and you can check out the way that we are church together through our fellowship, mission, worship, and learning opportunities. A few announcements this morning. As it is World Communion Sunday, I do want to make a note about the communion bread that will be shared during worship. It is, in keeping with our Food and Faith worship series, gluten, dairy, and nut-free. You may ask what's left. It's made from potato. And it was made here in Rochester using local ingredients. So as communion is shared, hopefully everyone can participate. And after worship today, even though Senior High Sunday School, you are not meeting, you all are welcome, along with everyone else, to share in the spirit of World Communion Sunday by hearing from Sebastian Marundit, one of the Lost Boys of Sudan, who is talking about the Building Minds in Sudan project. So, everyone is welcome to the adult lounge. And also this morning we will be receiving the peacemaking offering, which is one of the four denominational offerings and is near and dear to the heart of this congregation as it goes to peacemaking ministries. All right, I've got three more. One, mission note, if you enjoy serving at St. Joseph's House of Hospitality and have been missing that opportunity, it is time again. The sign-up sheets are on the kiosk. Also, if anyone has any gently used toys, we are collecting those to the end of the month for People's Ministry in Christ. And we've got more sign-ups. The ham dinner is coming October 27th. Sign-ups are in the hall leading down to Fellowship Hall. And also, fall cleanup will take place that day. October 27th is going to be a very busy day here at GPC, and hope everyone can make it. That's a lot of announcements. I think I'm good. Most of them are in your bulletin and also in your Harbinger newsletters that you received. Friends, let us prepare our hearts and our minds, our whole entire selves, to worship God.
an area where so many live under the threat of oppressive governments and suicide bombers. We celebrate those who are working together to bring about peace in their countries through nonviolent actions. Land where the differences in Christian beliefs have shaken the fabric of society, causing economic and political upheaval. We celebrate those who encourage relationships among Christians across all denominations. Country with a rich cultural heritage, but one that struggles with the devastations of floods and famines. We celebrate those who are addressing the needs of the extreme poor in this country. Place full of shame and sorrow and pain, we celebrate all those who join at tables of peace and justice to bring about God's kingdom. Table is set, so come, let us worship God.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. Holy God, as we break bread together with Christians around the world, we also encounter the brokenness of our sisters and brothers. We see our own brokenness, both personal and corporate, brokenness in which we willingly participate in doing nothing to prevent. Disconnected from our neighbors through unjust political, economic, and agricultural systems, we have often lost touch with the poor and the vulnerable. Restore us all to a place at your table. The good news is God calls us to this holy feast table over and over again and provides a place for us to bring our questions and our struggles. With the gift of grace through Jesus Christ, we are nourished. Be to God.
Come up here. I want you to come a little closer. Today is a very special day in the life of our congregation. In fact, in the life of the Christian church all over the world. Do you know what day today is? Anybody? It's World Communion Sunday. And that means that people all over the world are celebrating the sacrament of communion. And we will be too, but we're also going to celebrate another sacrament, and that's baptism. Because in the Presbyterian church, there are two sacraments. The Lord's Supper, and also baptism. So we need you up here to help us with the baptism.
All right. Good morning, everyone. You know what I love about Baptism Sundays? All the wonderful sounds of the children that are here in worship. It just makes my heart so happy. So I'm glad that you all are here. And so I'm going to invite a few of those friends forward right now. So Carol Ann and I invite Grayson Walker, son of James and Beth Marconi, Dylan James, son of Dominic and Lindsay Valentino, and Braden Michael, son of Corey and Molly McNamara, to the font. So here come our friends. And I'll have you guys just stay right there. Hi, friends. It is nap time, isn't it? I can tell. We hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. So we go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am always with you to the close of the age. Obeying the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and confident in his promises, we baptize those whom God has called. In baptism, God claims us and seals us to show that we belong to God. God frees us from sin and death, uniting us with Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, the body of Christ, and joined to Christ's ministry of love and peace and justice. So we, you guys too, everyone here, we all remember with joy our own baptism as we celebrate this sacrament.
On behalf of Session, I present Grayson Walker, son of James and Beth Marconi, Dylan James, son of Dominic and Lindsay Valentino, Braden Michael, son of Corey and Molly McNamara, to receive the sacrament of baptism.
James and Beth, Dominique and Lindsay, and Corey and Molly, do you desire for your child to be baptized? Relying on God's grace, do you promise to live the Christian faith and to teach that faith to your child?
Do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture Grayson, Dylan, and Braden by word and deed, with love and prayer, encouraging them to know and follow Christ and to be a faithful members of His Church? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
James, Beth, Dominic, and Lindsay, Corey, and Molly, in presenting your child for baptism, you announce your faith in Jesus Christ and embrace the covenant God has established to give us new life. As God embraces you within the covenant, I ask you to reject sin, to profess your faith in Jesus Christ, and to confess the faith of the Church, the faith into which we baptize, by answering the following questions. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? And do you trust in Him? And do you intend for your child to be His disciple, to obey His word, and to show His love? Let us pray. God, our holy parent, we thank you for your faithfulness, promised in this sacrament, and for the hope we have in your Son, Jesus. As we baptize with water, baptize us in the Holy Spirit, so that what we say may be your word, and what we do may be your work. By your power, may we be made one with Christ our Lord in common faith and baptism. Eternal God, you nourish and sustain all living things with this gift of water. Your Spirit hovers and moves, calling forth order and life. May all who splash in these waters experience new life through you. Amen. What is your child's name? Hi, Dylan James. This is quite beautiful. Dylan James Valentino, I baptize you in the name of the Father. And Michael, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, your disciple, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. What is your child's name? I think Grayson Walker. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These children of God are now received into the Holy Catholic Church. See what love God has given us, and that we should be called children of God, and we are.
Let us pray. Almighty God, giver of life, You have called us by name and pledged to each of us your faithful love. We pray for your children, Grayson and Dylan and Brandon. Watch over them. Guide them as they grow in faith. Give them understanding and a quick concern for neighbors. Help them to be true disciples of Jesus Christ, who has baptized your Son and servant, and who is our risen Lord. God of grace, we pray for these parents, James and Beth, Dominique and Lindsay, Corey and Molly. Help them to know you, to love with all your love, to teach your truth, and to tell the story of Jesus to their child, so that your word may be heard and bring about plans for us you have promised. In Jesus Christ, our Lord, Holy God, remind us all of us of the promises given in our own baptisms, and renew our trust in you. Make us strong to obey your will and to serve you with joy. Amen. Please stand and let us celebrate, singing the hymn, Wonders of Wonder, in the Green Book, page 17.
Well, wasn't that fun? See, he agrees. Today's first reading is from Luke 14. On one occasion, when Jesus was leader of the Pharisees, was going to the house of the leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. Just then in front of him, there was a man who had dropsy. And Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, "Is it lawful to cure people on the Sabbath or not?" When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host, and the host who invited both of you may come to you and say, "Give this person your place," and then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who are humbled themselves will be exalted. He said to them also, to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers, or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. One of the dinner guests, on hearing this, said to him, "Blessed is the one who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then Jesus said to him, "Someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At the time for the dinner, he sent his slave to say to those who would have been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have brought a piece of land, and I must go out and see it. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I have bought the 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to try them out. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I have just been married, and therefore I cannot come.' So the slave returned and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and said to his slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and lanes of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' And the slave said, 'Sir, what you offered has been done, and there is still room.' Then the master said to the slave, 'Go out into the people, into the roads and lanes, and compel them to come in, so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner.'"
Our second scripture reading for this morning comes from Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though are many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot were to say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as God chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. In 2007, a former journalist by the name of Sarah Miles published a memoir entitled "Take This Bread." She writes of being raised in an atheist household by parents who were actually children of missionaries. Raised to believe Christianity was a religion of fundamentalist wackos, peddling a belief system that no one with any true intelligence would ever buy into. Sarah's journey traverses the back roads and villages of Central America during the revolutions and violence in the 1980s, through steaming kitchens of New York City restaurant scene, and finally, to the rolling hills and diverse neighborhoods of San Francisco. And it was in San Francisco that, while on a morning walk, she found herself in St. Gregory's Episcopal Church. And in her words, she writes, "I walked in, took a chair, tried not to catch anyone's eye. We sat down, we stood up, we sang, we sat down, we waited and listened and stood up and sang. It was pretty peaceful and interesting. And then we gathered around the table. There was more singing and standing, and someone was putting a fresh piece of crumbly bread in my hands, saying, 'The body of Christ,' and handing me the goblet of sweet wine, saying, 'The blood of Christ.' And then something outrageous and terrifying happened. Jesus happened to me." In the days and weeks following her first communion, Sarah struggled to make sense of what had occurred. She could not shake the feeling and that impossible word, Jesus, lodged in her like a crumb. Wheat, yeast, salt, and water, transformed by hands and heat, were transformed again into something more mysterious for Sarah Miles. And she grappled her way into faith, and writes further, "All that grounded me were those pieces of bread. I was feeling my way toward a theology, beginning with what I had taken in my mouth and working out from there. It was the materiality of Christianity that fascinated me, the compelling story of incarnation and its grungiest details, the promise that words and flesh are deeply, deeply connected." We heard one of those grungy stories from John's Gospel last week, when the 5,000 followed Jesus into the hills around the Sea of Galilee to see and hear for themselves what this miracle worker was doing. And as the crowd was fed by the bread, they talked amongst themselves. Jesus, this miracle worker, could feed them too, just like Moses, they said to one another, providing manna in the wilderness. Food for today and enough for tomorrow. And the crowd of no longer hungry people said to Jesus, "Sir, give us this bread always." But the 5,000 did not immediately recognize was what Sarah Miles first felt as only a crumb lodged in her throat, was the quiet cessation of a deeper hunger, belly hunger, soul hunger, satisfied through the one who was himself the bread of heaven. "Don't be content just to have your bellies filled," Jesus told the crowd. "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Jesus, bread of life and living water, satisfies our human need with his promise of eternal life, and the promise that no one will die is akin to the promise that no one will ever hunger or thirst again. These promises and our discomfort at times with this promise brought me to a story that I read in a book about spiritual discipline. Dennis Sheila and Matthew Lynn share this story about World War II, how it was drawing to a close, and the Allied armies gathered up thousands of children who had been orphaned during the bombing raids. These children were placed in camps where they received food and good care. But despite the excellent care, the children slept poorly at night. They were nervous and afraid. They feared waking up to find themselves once again homeless and without food. Nothing seemed to reassure them. Finally, someone came up with the solution. Each child was given a piece of bread to hold after he or she was put to bed. Holding their bread, the children could finally sleep in peace. All through the night, the bread reminded them, "Today I ate, and I will eat again tomorrow." Through the common symbols of our earthly survival, Jesus declares that our most human longings are met in him. The bread of life is our nourishment and our comfort, our consolation and our promise. And on this World Communion Sunday, we join with our brothers and sisters all around the world to receive this ordinary yet extraordinary gift from God, that is the bread and the cup, symbolizing life-giving nourishment we have in Jesus Christ. But we also remember that this gift of bread, the crumbly, belly-filling bread, does not just magically appear on the table as one gift. It is the result of many gifts from God. As Paul writes to the church in Corinth, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." The bread consists of individual ingredients, and together are the bread of life. It is God who arranges the bread. Each one, each ingredient, as God chooses. Grain, planted in the fields of Western New York, ripened by the warmth of the sun, cut down at the harvest by the farmer, ground it by a miller in Rochester, sold by a community cooperative bakery, and placed in the bowl. We are formed from the gift of grain from God's harvest. And salt, a mineral formed of the earth and yet essential for all animal life. This salt was mined in the foothills of the Himalayan mountains in Pakistan, often still mined by hand. The working and living conditions of our brothers and sisters can be extremely difficult and dangerous, often leading to death. Jesus told us that we are to be the salt of the earth, never losing our flavor. Salt adds flavor to our food and also an antiseptic to our wounds, reminding us of the challenge to our faith of the healing powers of Jesus. And now we add the yeast. We only need the smallest amount of this living organism that feeds off the dough mixture and enables the bread to rise. A reminder that even small works done in Jesus' name, our risen Lord, can enable the kingdom to grow. And finally, the water of our baptism that unites these ingredients and us. Without water, none of us could live. It cleanses and renews us, refreshes us, commits us to our faith and to one another. God spends a lot of time folding us, shaping us as bread on earth. These individual ingredients together expand in the warmth of God's love. It is God who gives us the individual gifts of grain, salt, yeast, and water. And it is God who makes us a holy communion to be the body of Christ in the world. May we, in the grungiest of details of our lives, be a reminder for all today that we are fed by the living bread, and there is enough for us all, today, tomorrow, and always. Thanks be to God. The one to whom we turn our lives over has invited us to this table. So whoever you are, however you feel, whatever reasons you are here, come to the feast. Whatever your condition and whatever your brokenness, whatever your hurts, know that the host is the one who teaches, the one who heals, and the one who welcomes. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast which he had prepared. And according to the Gospel of Luke, our risen Lord was at table with his disciples. He took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it. He gave it to them and their eyes were opened and they recognized him. We gather around the table in places far and places near, eating sourdough, tortillas, and Wonder Bread, the body of Christ, drinking the wine or the juice from handmade chalices, silver goblets, and little mini cups, the blood of Christ. The bread and the cup unite us at tables around the world with all who would follow Jesus. Let us eat and drink with joy, giving thanks and praise to God. Let us pray. Chaos waited for you to speak, grace giver, healer of all brokenness, and all beauty was created for our eyes. All mystery was crafted for our silence, giving us everything we needed. We despise the words of hope you spoke, certain that life was all about our appetites. We gorged on the moldy bread of death, although our only hope came from you. We rebelled like little children called to be one in you. We held close all that keeps us apart. We have fallen, and in grace you lift us up. We are broken, and you restore us to new life. We turn our backs on you, and you come to us in Jesus. So we praise you in this time and place, our voices merging with our brothers and sisters, one body in faith, hope, and baptism, forever proclaiming your steadfast love. Holy, 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 God of new hearts and hope, creation resounds with your glory and grace. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the bread of life who comes in your name. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, God of grace and tenderness, and blessed is Jesus Christ, our hope, our joy. Though we look for him for all the wrong reasons, He offers the bread of life to us. Though we offer the cross to him, he graces us with life. Though we thirst for more and more, he hands us the cup of sacrifice. Though we gossip and slander one another, he speaks the truth in love to us. Though we would divide each other by class, race, gender, or condition, he calls us to oneness in you. Recalling your never-ending love in Christ, knowing we cannot comprehend your grace, we take this bread and this cup, giving you the praise and thanksgiving, even as we proclaim that mystery we call faith.
Christ came that we might have the bread of life. Christ died that we might drink from the cup of grace. Christ is risen that we might be part of the body. Christ will come again to give us eternal life.
Holy God of wonder, we come to your table as many. Make us one body by your one Spirit. Feed us with the bread of life, so we might feed those who know true hunger. As your justice shines in the shadows of our hearts, may we light the way for the lost and despised. As you speak in truth of your love for us, may we be the voice for the unloved and forgotten. As you reshape our brokenness into wholeness, may we bind up the wounds of our world. And when we are gathered together in glory, one faith, one hope, one joy, one body around the one table of peace and grace, we will join our voices in singing through all eternity to you, God in community, holy and one. Amen.
We give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered, gathered his friends around the table. On the night before he gave himself to the authorities for his death, and so that they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength, he took common bread and made it holy, just as he takes common people and makes us holy. To remember, he asks us to repeat this act again and again as he did, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, and do this in remembrance of me."
And he took his cup and poured the wine into it. And he said, "This is a sign of the new covenant. Drink, remembering me."
We break bread and we drink this cup, giving thanks for the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, for the promise of new life, for the faith to hope anew. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us celebrate together. Friends, this is the bread of heaven. Let us taste and see the goodness of God's mercy. Thank you.
And Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Drink, remembering me.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for making this no ordinary meal. It has been one in which we have been fed and nourished with your life. May we go from here refreshed and eager to share your life and love with others. Amen.
We invite you to share your prayers of joy and your prayers of concern.
Good morning. Friend of mine, Michelle Marshall, who many of you know, her son Zachary has recently been deployed as a Navy SEAL to Afghanistan. So I'd like to ask to keep him in your prayers for his safety and well-being. Thank you.
Prayers for a friend of our family. Some of you may know her, Deb Smith. She runs a Christian program after school at the middle school, and she was in a biking accident on Friday. So for all of you bikers, please become more defensive, and for those of you driving, don't just look for cars. Basically, the man pulled up to a stop sign, looked for cars, didn't see any, pulled out, and didn't see Deb, and she hit the car. So she just needs a lot of prayers. She's in a lot of pain right now, more muscle stuff, and just waiting to kind of see if there's any other damage. So prayers for her.
My son, Kevin, got home from the hospital Friday night, and it was an eight-hour operation, and I said that was five vertebrae were connected with rods, and it's a very serious operation.
In that prayer.
Irene Ward, I would just like to say prayers for my boss, Elliot Landsman. He is 92 years old and facing health difficulties, but he's actually pulling through and getting better, so we just treasure him, and I'd like to hold him in our prayers.
Prayers of joy for all the children we have in worship this morning. It is such a joy to celebrate their sounds. And also from our church school classes, we also share their prayers. Prayers for a friend's finger to heal, for a safe return of a pet cat. A lot of birthdays this month. It is a popular month for birthdays. One of my favorites, as it turns out. Prayers for grandparents to arrive safely, and prayers for a Nana who is in intensive care right now.
Let us pray. God of the universe, we give you thanks for a world rich in diversity. We confess, however, that sometimes we demand the people of the world to think like we do, to respond like we do, and to even act like we do. Open our hearts and minds. Help us to learn from each other, to see differences as exciting, not threatening. Expand our vision to the full beauty of your creation. Stretch us beyond what is familiar. And this morning, through the holy mystery of the font and table, we are united with our sisters and brothers throughout the world. Help us, O God, to take the peace we experience in the sacraments into our lives. For we know you call us to be peacemakers in our families, in our workplaces, in our communities, and in our world. Help us find personal peace within ourselves so that we may not only live peacefully, but also be advocates for peace. And we give you thanks for the many world partners with whom we as a church are privileged to join hands for justice. We celebrate our relationships with the women in Pankow, with the teachers and students of the Green Island Basic School, with the congregations of the United Church of Jamaica, with Reverend Ferenc and his Hungarian Reformed congregation, and with Randall Shea and the people of his village. Hear us now as we join our voices with all your people throughout the world, praying the prayer you taught your disciples. Our Father, bring our guests forward.
Heavenly Father, we bring these gifts to you with hopeful hearts and ask that you help us to use them to bring all to your table and the joy and the blessings that are held there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Rouse described her experience of Jesus like a crumb lodged in her throat. She must have been feasting on gluten-free bread. And the good news of that is, may Jesus be lodged in each of us as we go from this place to share that love, the love that God has shown us, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the courage of the Holy Spirit to do it every day. Alleluia. Amen.